It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
It's exciting to be joining you on our third season of the Live Greatly podcast. In case you're new to the show, I'm Crystal Bauer, a wellness expert on a mission to help you thrive personally and professionally. If you're ready to thrive, I invite you to subscribe and follow season three, because each week I'm sharing conversations with incredible individuals about life, wellness, and success. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
And what does success look like for me today? And if I'm able to get that on a consistent basis, that's how I'll start to develop a habit, because I'm actually enjoying what I'm doing rather than waiting for something in the future.
If you're looking to create healthy habits that you actually can stick with, you're going to love today's episode with Samantha Pantazopoulos. So you may have found yourself in a situation where you want to make a positive change and you start making this change and then you end up not being able to stick with it. Maybe a few weeks later, a month later, that healthy habit drops off. So Sam and I are going to chat about how to get motivated to make long-lasting positive change. Samantha is the co-founder of Visor, which is an innovative app supporting sustainable daily wellness routines. So they've done something really cool. They've partnered with some health forward brands and they are incentivizing exercise. So when users track and complete their fitness activity, what Visor does is their partners actually donate a meal with the US food banks. And then the users also earn points towards better for you rewards. So when you are getting a reward for fitness and exercise, that can be a motivator to help you stick with it and it can make it more fun. Sam and I are going to be chatting about her journey with this wellness brand, also how to build relationships with brand partners to grow a business. And we're also going to be chatting about what companies should be looking for when they're looking to have a wellness program. Sam's going to be sharing her personal journey with wellness and how she started to actually be able to enjoy exercise and fitness and hopefully motivate you to make some positive changes in your life. Now, remember, this is not meant to be medical advice or treatment recommendations. It's only for informational and educational purposes. And always talk to your healthcare provider about any recommendations specific to you and any restrictions for exercise or fitness. Check out the full disclaimer at the end of this episode. I'm really pumped about this. Let's jump into it and welcome Sam to the show. Sam, super happy to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm excited to be on. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So to start, I would love to hear about how you got into the wellness space. So maybe a little bit of backtracking about your journey to get you to where you are today.
It's the most non-traditional story of all time, I think, and that I probably actively avoided being in the wellness space for 20 years of my life. Growing up, I was not the athlete at school. I think I did one season of sports before I dropped out and never played again. But okay. I never really developed any kind of relationship with fitness that was sustainable. And it just wasn't something that was top of mind for me. But by the time I got to college, my lifestyle choices were starting to catch up with me a little bit, where I wasn't eating very well. I'd never like developed a good, healthy foundation with nutrition either. Mm-hmm. And realizing I was going to have to do something to kind of get everything back in order, but not knowing how to develop a healthy workout routine or a healthy nutrition plan, I kind of turned to unhealthier habits, like restrictive eating plans or over-exercising. Yeah. And it was kind of through that storm of unhealthy habits, I started to learn what living well actually looked like. And then that was around the time the idea for what we do today sparked.
Got it. Okay. So then I would love to hear a little bit about Visor. When did you start it? What's it all about? And then we can kind of dig into the details about healthy habits and all that good stuff too.
Definitely. So Visor, the idea started when I was kind of in this health and wellness storm of really restricting my eating, over-exercising, and learning that if you're not fueling your body properly, it's almost impossible to develop any kind of healthy habits like exercise or anything sustainable. And then simultaneously, I just didn't have the motivation to work out. Mm-hmm. People would always say, you know, you'll get that runner's high or stick through it until you start to feel the benefits. And I just could never get there. Mm-hmm. And these two questions were really big in my mind of, why is it so hard to work out? And what do you do if you don't have the resources? So from that, the idea for Visor really started to form together. I was in college at the time in a social venture incubator. And the whole question was, can you build a business around a social problem that you personally experience and personally identify with? So the business that emerged from that was, if every day I worked out, I had the opportunity to give back something tangible, and then I could earn healthy rewards for myself. Not only did I think I would be motivated to do so, but then I could start to contribute to this resource gap that I saw. So that's what Visor is. It's an app where every day you work out, a brand in our network will donate a meal through a US food bank, and then you earn points for free healthy products for yourself.
I love it. Okay. So then are those free healthy products coming from the brands that you've partnered with or different places?
Yeah. So it's this whole ecosystem where we have brands that are participating. You're able to get things directly off of their website. We also partner with retailers, so you're able to grab items at the grocery store, and we do restaurants. So restaurants will offer like fun drinks or appetizers to kind of celebrate your contributions that week.
I love it. Okay. Now, is this something that you are focusing on for individuals or for corporations and like employee wellness, or what's the angle that you're kind of hoping for or looking to grow into?
So it's really both. The goal was to create this app that would be really easy for an individual to use. They could just go off the app store. So we have an entire kind of consumer side of the company. But I always knew working with organizations was going to be a really good way to get the app into the hands of a lot of people at once.
Yeah.
So we do corporate, but we've also worked with schools and nonprofits and county governments. So it's a cool kind of assortment of different groups that have come together to use it and try it out.
Amazing. So let's backtrack a second and talk about some of the things that may be holding people back from making those positive lifestyle choices or making the choice to exercise and to stick with it for those long lasting results. And one thing that I found through my training, I used to work in healthcare. And so a lot of the conversations I would have would be trying to get people motivated to make these life changes. And during my integrative medicine fellowship, we had a section on like motivational interviewing. And one of the things that they talked about was really, it needed to come from the person. Like the person needed to make that connection between the activity and how it linked to something that mattered to them. So I think it's really like, why does it matter to you? Because someone can tell you, oh, you've got to work out because, but that might not resonate. You might be like, I don't care about that. I care about this. So I love that for your app, you know, you're making the donation, people can get their own products, but I would love to hear your take on how to bridge that gap between that like disconnect between the desire and then actually following through.
And I love how you phrase that question of bridging the gap and the disconnect, because I think that really is the problem with how we think about fitness and how we think about what success looks like. Is it's almost positioned the beginning with this huge disconnect, which is you're starting here. And at some point in the future, you're going to get to a point where you get these benefits, but the process of getting there is going to be challenging. The process of getting there is going to be difficult. And you just have to kind of wait until this future that may or may not come to fruition where you feel differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that disconnect is the challenge really with people who are trying to develop healthy habits.
Yeah.
Because across the board, people want to be healthy. They have the desire. It's something in that process that gets lost. Mm-hmm. And often I don't even know if it's motivation, but maybe resource I think is really important. Like, do people have the tools or do they have the education? Do they have the right coaches? That kind of gives a foundation on top of which motivation can start to operate and work. So one thing that I always look for is how can you make the value more present? Where if I do something today, I'm going to feel something positive. And what does success look like for me today? And if I'm able to get that on a consistent basis, that's how I'll start to develop a habit, because I'm actually enjoying what I'm doing rather than waiting for something in the future.
And that's where I like your idea of giving people those rewards, because that's a great incentive. It's fun. And it adds that playfulness back into the process, which is so important, because when you are creating a new healthy habit, it has to be something that you actually want to do, to stick with it. So with these rewards that you're doing, do you build up points to be able to redeem it? Or how does that work?
So exactly like that. So Every day that you convert a workout into a donation, you earn a point and then you can use it in our marketplace. But idea is they're not impossible to earn. Just 2 to 3 workouts is going to be enough for you to go redeem one of these prizes or gifts from our reward partners, and really kind of catering them around experiences. So what's something that you're going to get that you'll be able to enjoy, maybe with friends or maybe kind of out cultivating social wellness, but nothing impossible. Think like if you hit your goals this week, you're getting something at the end of the week.
Cool. Now, what companies have you been able to partner with, and how is that process? You know, starting out and like reaching out to companies being like, hey, do you want to do this together? You want to partner together? Like, how did you start that process and how did that all fall into place for you?
It's been a great journey. San Diego is a really collaborative place to start a company, I think, or any kind of organization. And how we got our first partners was really just by sitting down with people and sharing what we were hoping to build over and over and over again. So our first year, I think we did 400 to 500 meetings.
Oh my gosh.
Just kind of talking about what the idea was going to be. We didn't have a line of code written, but this was the app we wanted to build, how the community would operate.
Yeah.
And then finding people along the way who really saw what that vision would be and said, you know, if you build it, then I'll participate. And that was enough for us to get the resources to get the app built. And then from then on, it was really relational as well, with brands sharing, you know, brand contacts at other companies that maybe they worked at previously, or if our contact moved to a new brand. And before you knew it, there were, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, now 100 organizations that kind of share the thesis of what we're trying to do and are contributing in one way or another.
I love it. Okay. So if someone is listening and maybe they've had an idea or they're looking to grow something, who do you reach out to when you're reaching out to these companies? Like, who's the contact point and how did you go about the initial interaction? Was it through a platform, an email, a call, a mutual contact? Like, it's kind of, there's like an art form to this.
Yeah. I was really shameless and I was okay with people saying no. And I think that's kind of the first barrier that you have to get over, which is if you reach out to somebody first, you'll be surprised by who will meet with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I would email CEOs or presidents and I would get a response back and I'm in their office the next week. So first, not limiting like your outreach, but then being strategic when you reach out, I think is really important. So making sure you research who it is that you're trying to connect with, being really thoughtful with your request. Like, what is it about their background, or what specifically are you interested in talking about? How are you going to make it an easy exchange for them? Like going to where they are, for example. A lot of that goes into thoughtful outreach, I think. But at that point, the medium is less important. So we would use email, LinkedIn, referrals, networking events, you know, anything across the board.
So how have you navigated the ups and downs along the road? Has it all been pretty smooth sailing, or have you had some hiccups or bumps on your journey?
There's definitely been some big macro things that have happened over the last several years. I mean, if you look at COVID, for example, we were working exclusively in San Diego with a lot of restaurants and studios. And we had this big national expansion kind of geared up for March of 2020 through restaurants and studios. So when you see restaurants and studios shut overnight, you see this mass increase in need for meals, really having to kind of reposition what our offering was and how we could respond and create something that could scale. You have these kind of macro environment shifts, I think, that are really unprecedented in the last 5 years that were occurring with the growth of the company. And at the same time, it's a young company and it's growing, and kind of the lessons that come with that as your role evolves and the team grows and all these things. But we have a great team and it's really collaborative and the communication's there. So that's how I think we're able to navigate some of these challenges, especially when they all happen at once.
How many people are on your team? How many are working with
you? We're up to 14 now.
Okay.
Yep.
So then are you the head, or what's your official role with the company?
So I'm the CEO and co-founder. And then my cousin Dylan, we started the app together. So he does a lot of our external partnerships.
Got it. So as your team has grown, Have you developed any certain leadership qualities or philosophies that you think have really helped you or that you want to stick with as your business continues to expand?
Definitely. And I think it's an ever evolving journey. Like every day you're learning something more about yourself, and the relationships and the dynamics within your team are going to teach you so much about yourself and how to be a better leader, I think. So when I look back at some of the things I would do a year ago or 2 years ago, it's almost horrifying, but you learn as you go, which is really exciting. And I think some of the biggest takeaways is how important communication is. And I did this blog post about it, but I think if you're a leader, empathetic transparency is really important. Understanding that people may not have all the context that you do or all the backstory that you do, and making sure that if you ask for something, you're coming really prepared with the resources they're going to need to be successful. And then also trying to encourage kind of like active participation on your team's part to advocate for what they need and make sure they're being clear communicators and feel like they have the space to do so, I think is super important. And if you can kind of cultivate that environment where people feel safe to communicate, then I think you move so much faster.
Right. So I would love to hear your thoughts on employee wellness in general. And, you know, as companies get larger and larger, there's so many more layers that go into this, but employee wellness, employee well-being, huge topic. I'm wondering what you think are some of like the key components for that. And then if someone is looking for an employee wellness program, are there any big traits that you think are really important?
I think there's so many shifts that are occurring with kind of like the global modern workforce that wellness programs have to respond to if they want to be effective, which is when you saw COVID and people switching to Zoom calls and switching to Slack, those blurred lines between your home life and your work life never really went away, where people are on their devices 24/7. There's a lot of screen time. People are sitting. I just read something recently about even your breath. Like if you're looking at an email or you're reading something on Slack, 8 out of 10 people are holding their breath. So it's like these really interesting things that occur when you're sedentary and you're working in like a remote work environment or even in office, but going back and forth, that getting people moving is more important than ever. But the outdated kind of, we'll have a company gym membership and some people may use it and some people won't, I don't think is going to move the needle anymore. In the same way that I don't know if bean bags and a keg is exciting to people anymore. Like people are looking for real community and they're looking for connection and things that they can get excited about using. And then they also have these personal needs, which is to be off their computer more, to feel more connected. So I think programs that are tangible or experiential, people say it's a group activity where everyone shuts off their laptop and they do something with their hands or they do something active or kind of engage, you'll start to see kind of a camaraderie build more. And then that is going to shift the culture of the organization more than anything else.
Right. Yeah. I have been thinking about this a lot, and I just did a post on LinkedIn and talking about how employee wellness starts with company culture and that leaders really need to be the ones setting the example. So when I'm talking to these different groups and different teams for companies, I really feel like employees need to feel like it's okay for them to make self-care a priority during the workday. It's recommended, it's promoted, it's encouraged, not like, ooh, if I take a break to go outside, I'll get in trouble. Or, you know, it needs to be like, no, this is great. You know, take time away from the screen. It's going to improve your focus. It's going to improve your productivity. And I think that is a very much a job of the leaders to set that precedence in the organization. And I love what you said about community and connection, because I think if companies can start making this a part of the culture where they're doing it together and it's a community building process, these maybe like different themes for each week or different activities where you can get more fitness in, maybe walking meetings or I don't know. There's just so many playful ways that companies can do this, where I think that it can be a game changer. So with your app Are you being used right now by any companies, or is it mostly individuals at this point?
So both. So okay. There are a ton of organizations that are using it as like an HR product. So okay. They're using it with their teams. And then also we have non-company, like non-HR teams that use it, but still within their organization.
Got it. So what's the feedback that you've been getting? Have you gotten any feedback from the companies or individuals about like sticking with it, or how people are doing with the longevity of, like, you get the shiny new toy and at first you're excited, but then sometimes that can trickle off a little bit. Like, what is that looking like for you?
Totally. And it's been great to see, because the goal was that not only was this going to be something that people who were active would find compelling as a rewards program, mm-hmm. but really people who struggled to stay active were going to find as an incentive tool. Like Visor is short for incentivize. But it's been great to see that once we start working with an organization, they actually are able to grow their participation in the organization over time. And I think a lot of that has to do with the community aspect, which is, once people are using it, they're excited to tell their coworker or other people on the team, or we do challenges so people can compete against one another. As that conversation starts to build in the organization, you actually see the number of people who are using it grow within the organization, which is, my opinion, super cool, because it was like the hope and the goal of it.
Yeah. Amazing. So when you started this brand, were there any things that you felt like were really key for you being able to gain visibility and get started and get off the ground?
Because it's a multi-sided ecosystem, you have a lot of different moving pieces that all had to be set up before it could go live. And I remember I would do pitch competitions.
Okay.
20 years old, right out of school, going, telling people I wanted to build this six-sided marketplace. Come to learn, if you tell somebody you're building a two-sided marketplace in the startup community, it starts to send off red flags because of that. Like, they're, think Uber, you have to do the drivers and the riders. And the more complexity there is to a model, the more opportunity there is for something to be challenging in building it. So it's actually a red flag in pitch competitions, I came to learn. But for us, we knew the success of the ecosystem and becoming what it was supposed to be, this like symbiotic structure, relied on having all of these people who could put in a little bit and then get a lot out of it. Right. So all of the pieces were super important. However, we had to kind of structure each side of it before we could say, okay, this now exists. Let's get some people in it, testing it out, and then start learning from their experience. So that whole first year was just us kind of figuring out, okay, who are the first users that are going to be beta testing it? Who are the 10 local San Diego brands who are going to be the partners of it? And then going from there and kind of scaling as we went.
Got it. Okay. So I would love to just chat a little bit more about habits, and then we're going to be kind of coming towards the end, but habits are so important if we want to have long lasting results. And a lot of us are stuck in like mindless habits that don't serve us, right, day to day. But when you want to start a new healthy habit or break out of a habit, I think it takes intention, and we talked about this before, like excitement about it. Any other thoughts that you have on how people can promote creating a new healthy habit for themselves?
Intention, I think, is a really good word for it. And it's something I've been trying to practice even more myself, which is really tuning in to what do I enjoy and what makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. I think often we see a TikTok, or we see something that somebody else does, or we read X person's morning routine and we think, oh, like that's it. That's what that person does. I should try that. But how your body responds to something is infinitely more important. And I think it's always changing. So a workout that worked really well for me 6 months ago may not work for me today, or a diet plan that worked really well for me 6 months ago may not work for me today. So with habits, I try to look at the broad strokes I'm trying to make, which is, I know I want to get movement in my day. I want to feel nourished. I want to feel rested. I want to feel connected. And then I look at, in that day, what do I think will make me feel that way? Mm-hmm. So the drink I get at the coffee shop looks entirely different day to day. And the workout I do looks entirely different. And the mindfulness practice I do. But I know those are the things that I want to hit. And then usually by the end of the day, because it was intentional, I end up, I like a net positive, and then I see those start to form in my life. Versus when I would stick with one thing, like, oh, I need to run every day, I would hate it and I would stop doing it. So it's that like experimentation and figuring out what works constantly.
Right. And it sounds like you're kind of tuning into yourself, that self-reflection, like checking in, what do I need? And what do I need today? I used to be very like specific as far as, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And now I have a little bit more similar to what you're saying, where it's like, well, what do I feel like I need today, you know, in this time frame? So that's great advice. So we are coming towards a close, but anything else you want to share before we go into a wellness lightning round? I'm going to put a link to your website and social in the episode details so people can find you there. But anything else before we jump into that last round?
I'm excited for the wellness lightning round. No, I think exactly what you said is just like, if people take something away, I think asking those questions of themselves of like, what makes them feel good and then tuning into it is the most successful thing that they can do for their personal health and wellness journey, aside from, you know, listening to what makes somebody else feel good. So if they ask themselves that question, that would be my hope.
Love it. And one other thing that just came to my mind too, is if you are trying to create a healthy habit, don't get discouraged if you like veer off course here and there. Like, that's okay. Cause sometimes I think people get so frustrated, like, well, I can't do it then. You know, I missed my exercise or movement today. So, oh, it's just over. And instead it's like, no, it's all right. You know, just like, you're going to start again the next day and maybe, you know, try and add it in a way that's more fun or approachable. So I think it's just having like a lightheartedness about it too, can help people just to make those changes and stick with them.
Totally agree. I try to do my habits in years where I'm like, okay, this year I want to work. So this year I wanted to focus on drinking less alcohol. That was a big thing. But I knew if I just said, okay, I'm going to stop drinking alcohol completely, then I would probably go off and come back on and all these things.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, over the course of this year, I just know by the end of that time period, I would like to be drinking less in aggregate.
Right.
And with that intention all year, I did go up and down different seasons, right? But now looking back, it absolutely worked. So it's like moving the needle can look up and down, but you usually end up in the direction of where you aimed.
Right. Yeah. And like, give yourself a pat on the back for the progress you're making, like celebrate those wins. So let's jump into the wellness lightning round. So first question that I have for you, is there a non-negotiable self-care practice that you have? Like, is there something that you have to get in every day?
Not every day. I'm sure there is, but the one that came to mind as a non-negotiable is I have a friend who is an energy healer. And it's also like a therapy session almost, but I consistently meet with her just to kind of talk about what's going on in my life. And I think that like mental space to have safe conversations is so important. And I encourage like any founder, any individual, make sure you're carving out time and space for that, because otherwise like life will get crazy and you want to make sure you have that when you need it.
Yeah, have the support and the outlet to be able to share and grow and learn and kind of let go of some of that stuff. And second question I have for you, is there a healthy habit you're trying to create for yourself? I know you mentioned the alcohol, but if there's anything else that comes to mind as far as like a new healthy habit.
Right now, it's constantly changing, but right now I'm really focused on breath work.
Okay.
I realized I was that person that was holding my breath when I was writing my emails. So trying to catch that and breathe in a healthy, normal pattern.
Right. Right. I mean, that's so common. And I talked about that too. I used to work in integrative psychiatry, and I see a lot of people when they're stressed, I would do it too. If I was listening to like an intense conversation, like you clench your muscles. And sometimes, you know, when you do that, you can hold your breath. So having that awareness of like, oh, I clench my muscles, I hold my breath, just that in itself can then allow you to shift it and like, okay, relax my muscles, take a breath, and then that'll help you feel more relaxed. So I'm right there with you. That's something I need to work on too. And then the last question that I have for you is, knowing what you know today, what advice would you have given to yourself from 10 years ago?
Oh, that's a great question. I moved to San Diego 10 years ago, because I went to school here and then I launched the company here. So this would have been right at the beginning of school. And I wish I had relaxed a little bit more I feel like so much was all about the destination, almost blinders on, like, let me get to this level, let me get to this level, let me get to this level. And I think you touched on it earlier with health and wellness, but with entrepreneurship or a career or your life, even, I think the journey is really the point. And had I learned that lesson a little bit earlier, there were so many moments that would have been really, really great had I not like immediately gone right on to the next goal.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, amazing. Thank you so much, Sam, for taking time with me today, sharing all these insights. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I absolutely loved sharing these insights with you. If you have a moment, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review about what you loved about this episode. Leaving reviews helps the show gain visibility so those who can benefit from it can gain access to it. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Now for a disclaimer, the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified health professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions regarding your specific health, your sleep patterns, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. Always consult your physician before taking any medications, any over-the-counter drugs, any supplements, vitamins, or herbs, and consult your physician before starting any new lifestyle programs. All information, views, and statements shared on the Live Greatly podcast are purely the opinions of the authors. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. They have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Opinions of guests are their own, and Crystal Bauer and this podcast do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. Neither Crystal Bauer nor this podcast takes any responsibility for possible health consequences of a person or persons following the information in this educational content. Always consult your physician for recommendations specific to you. If any product mentioned in this podcast has been received from the manufacturer or public relations team for that product with the express intent of editorial consideration, the product will be identified as such. A product for which Live Greatly receives some form of compensation for promoting will be identified as such.